here we go. This is Adam Pratt with Arcade Heroes. With Mike?
Mike Rudowich.
Mike Rudowich. Thank you. Sorry about that. So, we got some questions I put together so I could have kind of an idea. But, Mike, how many events does this make for you that you've attended for ASI?
Well, the ASI show has been around approximately 25 years. And the AAMA, which is made up of manufacturers, distributors, and suppliers for the coin opera music industry, has been around 26 years. And we also do various associated shows throughout the year, probably an average of about 6 to 8 other industry trade shows that we participate in to make people aware of the amusement products that are available in the marketplace.
Okay. I know one of them is the AAMA Gala as well.
Well, the Gala is not really a trade show. The Gala is kind of a preview of new product development that is done late summer, midsummer, about the end of July. We schedule it. And what it does, it really gives a target date for a lot of manufacturers to try to have some units either finished or prototypes available to show for the fall show that we also participate in called AMOA and Fun Expo.
Okay. And isn't the Fun Expo merging with ASI next year?
Yes, in 2009, the Fun Expo will be moving to from the fall to the spring. So we'll be doing a joint show starting in 2009.
Okay. What's your opinion of this year's ASI? How's it gone so far?
I think that it's approximately the same size as last year's show, and the attendance pre-registration is down about 5%. Overall, though, the show looks good, and I think that the key buyers are here, which is the most important.
Right. Now, I know there are a number of seminars at ASI. Is there any way that if somebody were to miss one of these seminars that they could get hold like a transcript or a video of the information?
In some cases, that is available, but not for every single seminar. Most of the seminars are done live with their spokesperson at hand, and we used to tape them at one time. We haven't really done that now in a while, but we do have some PowerPoint portions of the presentation available for those that wish to, that they would like to get a copy of.
Okay, and you can get those on the AAMA website?
Contact the AAMA, and we'll be glad to help anyone out that needs it.
Okay. Now, I know that last year AAMA announced that they were getting together with a PR firm to bring more attention to the coin-op scene. How's that been working out? I know you had Sturm Pinball on Good Morning America.
That was the first project that we've done with them. Mm-hmm. I think the firm is an excellent firm, Rudolfin out of Chicago. And we tried to address the issue of what product or what would be the most interesting thing to start off with. And since there's only one pinball manufacturer, it's kind of a dinosaur that we keep alive in our industry because there's still a lot of pinball players out there from the days of old and even today to new.
Right.
We decided to go with that. And the second activity that we've worked with the PR firm is obviously this show.
Right.
We've opened it for the first time in 25 years to the public on Saturday, which will be basically a coin-op amusement Olympics program where the public can enter into Olympic contest on several different types of machines, basketball, skee ball, pinball, drivers, and such, and play to win the prizes. And in addition to that, we also have four key Las Vegas celebrities that will be playing for their favorite charity. So we're real excited about that.
Yeah, that definitely sounds really exciting. Can't wait to see that tomorrow. And what are some of the plans in the future for...
Well, next month we key off a new program, actually, we start, which is to work with a lot of the independent bowling centers around the country, mm-hmm. and create some success stories from rags to riches, so to speak, about what the amusement industry has meant to their establishment by bringing in mini arcades and self-dispensing prize awarding equipment and things like that, that, you know, make them compete with the big boys as well without having the capital to invest. Mm-hmm. Kind of a neat opportunity.
Yeah, I find myself in that situation. I plan on opening up an arcade in May, and we only have about 30 machines, pretty small. I do find it a little tough to compete with the big boys, as you say, because I only have limited capital, and the games are kind of expensive.
Some of these self-redemption centers are basically employee-free, you might say, where the machines that have all the prizes, mm-hmm. and you can set up redemption equipment to dispense tickets. They actually have ticket eaters, and they register how many credits you would get, and you can buy, if there's a differential, you could buy that mm-hmm. out of the machine. And basically, it's a self-redemption center without having the cost of employees.
Right.
So it gives you the same competitive edge as some of these large places that have to have all the other cost involved.
Right, of course. Now, I also know that the AAMA is involved with the political scene, keeping an eye on legislation. Is there any legislation coming up that affects the coin-op industry that operators should be worried about?
Well, that's probably our most important issue and our primary reason for existing, really, is to make sure that we help our members with all new and existing legislation to make sure that there's no misunderstanding of the products that are out there, that, you know, they're legal and they're not gaming equipment. And we work with many of the local cities, states, and municipalities and developing some of these new bills that are introduced, so they understand what our marketplace is all about. It's a constant battle that we're always fighting because of a lot of other different forms of media attention, like the home video market that might have games that are rated maybe for adult rated, that sometimes they get confused with the coin-op market.
Right.
So we work in conjunction with their association as well, and with several other associations that really are geared to work in the public sector, like the record industry and the motion picture industry and the home video industry. So it's just a constant thing that we do.
Yeah, I remember the last time the coin-op team seemed to be involved with that was with Mortal Kombat, but it seems like we haven't had any games that have been really violent that have caught that much attention in a while.
That was probably a little over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When that was the karate shoot 'em up fighting scenes, and it's kind of new to the marketplace.
But right.
Today the home market has probably some of the greatest interactive games that you can play. The coin-op market's a lot different. We now really are probably focusing more on simulators, drivers,
right.
and things like that.
You don't have to worry about it so much. What's your opinion on the current state of the industry?
I think the industry has shrunk quite a bit due to a lot of other competitive forms of entertainment for that entertainment dollar. It's, you know, whether it's the gaming casino style industry, the motion picture industry, the home video market, the internet. I mean, everyone is vying for that same entertainment dollar.
Right. What do you think of the future of the coin-op industry in this situation?
Well, the coin-op market is always driven by technology, and we've been very fortunate because we had quite a long run in the days of Space Invaders and Pac-Man.
Right.
You know, the shoot 'em up, fighting style games and things like that. But I think there'll always be a market. It's more of a niche industry. You know, it's probably still the cheapest form of entertainment a family can have when you look at putting quarters into a machine and getting several minutes of fun. So there'll always be a market. The size depends basically on technology.
Right. Definitely agree with that. I see a lot of people say, oh, the arcade's expensive, but if you really sit down and put it on paper, it's a lot cheaper than buying an HD TV and console and all the games. So.
It's just, the arcades are, it's changed its focus. You might say, well, you go to an arcade in a shopping mall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really doesn't exist too much anymore, but the arcade really is out there in the motion picture theater in the vestibule, the lobby.
Right.
And there are small arcades in several of the truck stops and places like, you know, the Walmarts and, you know, of the world that have many arcades in them. So it's just the location that changed.
Right. I guess to end it up, do you have any favorite arcade game, pinball game that you prefer?
Well, I grew up playing pinball,
mm-hmm.
and I love all the pinball. And probably my favorite video game, I'd have to say, is by far Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Having worked for Bally during that era of time,
mm-hmm.
I played a lot of Pac-Man, so
yeah.
It's still fun today.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, well, thank you, Mike. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
Thank you.